So the topic of this week's question share is how to deal with noise disturbance and non-cooperative neighbors. Shalom aleichem. So as we said, this share is called, this question share is called how to deal with noise disturbance and non-cooperative neighbors. And as question share goes, the rules are slightly different from the other share. I'll be saying a question, giving straight away the halakhic opinion on that, and then everyone can jump in at that stage and attack or defend the position that's been suggested. Okay? So, neighbors. So as a hatzoma to these questions, we're going to explain a few stages in this Hatzoma, and you can write on the papers anything, information you would like to maintain. Now, what often causes machlokas between neighbors? This is a very question of a dime of Hatzoma called Rosh Shlomo Safani, and he wrote about this in detail. And I'll summarize the points which are very accurately described over here of what causes the machlokas. Firstly, a person is very, what we call in Chazal, korev etzel atzma. A person, he's very close to his own self, and he has self-interest. That's what's called self-interest. He always defends himself. He always feels that he's being the one who's persecuted, and therefore he always feels that he needs to defend and attack his position, to protect his position. That's just the nature of a person, as he's born with. And therefore, neighbors, by definition, you have to understand, is really a partnership in the common. They're in a partnership together in a building. They're partners in a property together. That's what basically neighbors are. And when one neighbor sees another neighbor building and missing his rights, the natural reaction, because of the first statement we said today, the natural reaction is he's increasing his rights. His making his a bigger portion over here, he's taking more control of the partnership. What do I get out of it? What do I get out of him increasing his rights? That's the natural reaction of a human being. Mimela, that is obviously that reaction can cause and start to bring friction between neighbors when a person reacts. That's the first thing that causes machlokas. Second factor that causes machlokas is that in neighbor law of halacha, halachic neighbor law, there is quite a difference of opinion of how to apply it in halacha between different rabbonim and dayanim. And they have their basis in different ways of learning certain things. So the mela, when one neighbor asks his rabbi and the halachic authority on a certain situation, and he gets the opinion given over to him, he automatically describes and looks at the other neighbor who's not following that opinion as being a rosha breaking halacha. But it's not necessarily true, because the other neighbor may have also consulted with his halachic opinion, or even if he hasn't, maybe there's other ways of looking at that situation which actually defends the neighbor. So therefore, this type that I'm a tzaddik and he's a rosha because I'm following halacha and he's not, is not necessarily true. And therefore, when you think you're the nizer, you may be actually the rozer. It depends on the halakhic authority who's going to be asked on this side. So you make people come to conclusions faster, and really, really people who ask this question, the rabbonim and dayanim ask this question, should make either don't answer or make a disclaimer from Rosh who says who you said. So who you said, the story is true, what you're saying. And even the story is true, this is just out here on the other side, who says maybe the other factors will change the whole story. And thirdly, even if all everything's good, this might maybe the halakhic way of looking at things, maybe there's another way of halakhic things which hasn't decided. So therefore, it don't stoke coals. Don't stoke the fire with giving answers. That's a lesson to Rabbonim and Dayanim to stoke the fire, to give them lessons, because it will stoke fires because of the nature of the partnership. Third factor, often a person, because he's a neighbor, he wants to be extremely nice to his other neighbor. So when that other neighbor comes, can I do this, can I do that, can I do that? Yeah, of course you can do that, yeah! But you have to realize being nice at the beginning ends up maybe causing surprises at the end, and it may at the end cause, I never expected this, I never knew this, and you have a surprise. A surprise can cause the friction. And why is the surprise? Because I was too nice at the beginning, I didn't even look into it, I didn't even consider what he was asking. Just yes, yes, yes. If you would have looked at it and considered what he's asking, you wouldn't be surprised what happens at the end. Now you're nice at the beginning, you're surprised at the end, and automatically surprise is not nice to you, causes friction. Fourth factor, and this is a very broad factor, it says, we are living in a secular world. Wherever we are in a secular world, because we're a secular world, we read newspapers, we hear news, we're surrounded by people, we're educated on the secular way of life, and therefore our mind is directed in analyzing things in a secular viewpoint. And therefore what we may consider as just or unjust, or correct and not incorrect and not appropriate, it may be all to do with how we perceive the world through secular eyes. Whereas halacha and Torah has a completely different way of defining what's just and unjust and correct and not correct. And therefore, you can't judge things based on your upbringing and your surroundings when you're faced with a situation. Because Torah, as the Chofetz Chazon Ish says in his Emunah B'Tochen, what's called a rodif and nidif, what's just and unjust is all dependent on halacha. Nothing to do with your secular surroundings of this lesson. That's the four factors. Okay, those are the four factors which causes machlokas. It's good to know this, so therefore you can protect yourself from these scenarios. The results can be disastrous in neighbors, as I've experienced many times in Beis Din, and you can come to a situation that choshever people, really choshever people, behave inside Beis Din in a very lowly manner. Very lowly manner they can behave, even though they're choshever people. Even though Beis Din is supposed to place a Mokum Shechina, it's supposed to be like a Beis Knesset, and then you're supposed to be upgrading your behavior, but the opposite rather often. People have been, especially in labor situations, people have been friends and maybe best friends for many years. When it comes to one situation in Shechinim, it can turn into enemies overnight. That's what could happen very easily. And we're not surprised, unfortunately, where we have situations of physical abuse and especially verbal abuse taking place in Beis Din due to these factors. We've had fist fights, we've had definitely a lot of verbal...
Fist fights here?
Yes, fist fights over here. We've had definitely lots of verbal abuse in name-calling and descriptions of their families and their children and their fathers and themselves and all that.
And
shouting is a part of the course. Shouting is unusual in such a way. Unfortunately, this is the result of the first four things which brings down our focus.
Now, what is the correct approach?
To look at every situation that you have with your neighbors, especially, is written on your sheets. As Chazal told us, Lochor v'Yushalayim etnei shamita divrem al din Torah. Yushalayim is only destroyed on the fact that people insisted on following exactly the letter of the law. It's not for nothing that Novi said that the Tzom Revi in the fourth month fast that we say Emes Hashalom over the Lamed. It says in the Haftarah Emes Hashalom over. You should love peace and truth. Peace and truth go together. Lamed ki acha bir emes. First, you clarify what's the actual letter of the law, the emes. And once you know the emes, it doesn't stop there. Yes, we know bedarkish. Then you have to be bedarkish shalom. After knowing the emes, then you can work out where's the shalom. After the emes, you go within the finish. Okay, those are all haftoros on behavior of neighbors. General guidelines how to the base decisions on neighbor disputes. Firstly, they obviously look at the Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, they apply the secular law. The secular law can have effect, as we'll see some of our shaylos today. Secular law can have effect on what halacha will decide on the law, neighborly laws. Thirdly, minhag among the particular area we're discussing, how they are known themselves, affects the actual law at the end, the halachic law. And fourthly, contractual obligations, obviously, what you've signed, obviously, when the neighbors sign things, when you buy apartments, you're signing a contract with the kaplan, but there's also building a contract with your neighbors how to act So therefore, and it's also on, that will obviously affect halacha, your contractual signature, whether you understood it or not, will nechay you in that sense. And 50, the history of, even if there's no minhag in this area, but there may be in your particular building, how you've actually dealt with things, which has created a precedence in your building to have different rules for everybody. Okay, those are the five factors which affect halachic in respect to neighbors. Now, let us start our first shayla. Any other questions? Is this Yossi, you wanted to say, well, mention something quickly?
How many people in advance of the screen over here? In advance of starting the
No.
Why not say that?
Because we're not proactive, we are reactive. Why? That's our position. Proactive is against Dionysus law. Why? Because Dion, is, by definition, nature has to be reactive. As soon as it's proactive, proactive may actually cause him to choose one of the sides and be nogea, and therefore proactive Dion is a dangerous. Reactive Dion is by nature how Dion has to be. Whenever it's proactive, you can make yourselves become into one of the party's shoes, which will make you possible to be a Dion in a house. That's why we never, as a rule, will go and say, never do two jobs. Either be a Tom Rebani, or a Dayan. What's a Tom Rebani? Tom Rebani, who hires out his services in a halachic fashion to be like a lawyer, to analyze the case, to help his client. Never be a Tom Rebani and a Dayan together, because there's a stira of how to look at in the way that Tom Rebani's mind is complete with the Dayan. If they do both together, lo aleinu, the Dayan can become a Tom Rebani when he's a Dayan. Okay. So now, shayla number one. I'll read out the shayla as it is presented. I bought my present apartment from the builder. This is Reuben speaking. And when my neighbor moved in, that is when problems started. My neighbor has no sensitivity to others. He arranges parties with high volume noise and music till 2 a.m. I want, at a constant basis, I want this to stop. So I called the police on him a number of times. I demand now that I'm in Basin, that the Basin finds him for his activity, and take measures to stop this continuing. That's Reuben's opinion. Yankala responds, his neighbor, I made Aliyah from Texas, moved into my first apartment in Israel, next to Reuben. Since coming, I have never been treated correctly by Reuben, and he's caused me monetary loss from calling the police on numerous times. I want Basin to instruct Reuben to stop being rude with me and tell Reuben to compensate me for all the money I spent on the police raids. This is my private property. I can do what I like, when I like on it, and nobody can tell me what to do. Okay?
That's the thing. It's very good.
Young killer. Yeah? Now, I have to give the answer and then you can jump in. What's the answer to this? Is, what's the shayla? Noise damage. Is it a halachic claim to say damage is such a thing? Can you damage somebody's noise and then you're not allowed to do it? That's the claim. The chayla from Shulchan Aruch on face value, it seems to be a machlokas between Machaber and Ramah in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. Whether noise is considered damage, Machaber saying that it is and Ramah saying it's not. So therefore, no. So you can say to machlokas, if it's a machlokas, then maybe a young girl can just say, I can do what I like. It's my house, you're my eye. Noise, damage, according to our opinions, it's not damage noise. So you can't tell me what to do. Maybe Yanka can do that. However, as I said, the law over here says that after 11 o'clock at night, you're not allowed to do noise in residential areas. If you do, you don't qualify to be a residential area. You qualify to be an industrial zone instead, where noise is not a problem after 11 o'clock. So, since you bought in a residential area, you have to use the property as a resident. Noise after 11 o'clock is not residential use. You have no rights to use your property after 11 o'clock with noise, because you only have a right, say here, to be a resident, not anything. So therefore, Lekula Alma over here, no machlokas, halacha, Shulchan Aruch won't apply over here, because you bought yourself to use this as a resident. This is not residential use, not allowed to use it. Yankala, you're wrong. You can't have your parties after 11 o'clock. We can't tell you what to do. Was it correct that Reuben called in the police? And was that correct behavior which caused you loss? That is Mar Malcolm on your sheet, which is one base, And that will read inside, it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Baba Kama, Shah Sha'ala Gabi Shah Shalchavero, the Hogar. Your ox is fine, he's walking around, but suddenly he gets attacked by another ox, and he goes on top of him. And he seems in my property, a chutzpah. My cow is in my property, he's being tapped by somebody else's cow. It doesn't matter if whether it's a dangerous one attaching, but the mice is being attacked. Baba Tato Shomitone, to defend himself, comes along the owner of the cow is underneath, and he pulls his cow away, for no better, that causes the top attacking cow to fall down, the die, and he dies. How is that possible? The one defending himself is possible, because this is how he defends himself. However, if he's Dochelion, but instead of pulling his cow, he does a different action as defense. He pushes the top cow, the mace, and by pushing it, it kills the cow. In Yochel Shomte, if he could have pulled his cow away, instead of pushing, hit the attacking one, how is that hired? He's hired for defending his ox by attacking the ox, he's hired. Shouldn't attack the ox. He should defend his ox by pulling his ox away. What happens afterwards? Not your problem. Attack! You can't attack! But if that, you couldn't pull it away, and the only way to do it was to push it, the only way to defend your cow was to attack, then they're not Khanami. So the rule comes out over here. To attack and cause damage is only permitted if that's the last recourse that you can do, there's nothing else you can do. But if you can do, get the same results. By not attacking, you're not allowed to attack, and if you attack, you have to pay. So over here the question is, yes, you are not allowed to, the noise is not allowed to take place. It's taking place on the cause. And he's not allowed to. Younger than his God, you want to. He's attacking me with his noise, which is not allowed. I have to defend myself as a neighbor. I can defend myself as a neighbor. But the defense is limited to the bare minimum to get the results. So you can't just call the police. You have to first give him warning. You have to go up and say, look, stop the music now, and I'm warning you. If he does, I'm calling the police. And if then he ignores, then at that stage, calling the police will be considered as the last resort. I think he did that. He just called the police without giving the warning. That's not correct. That's not allowed. You did the ultimate defense when maybe it wasn't necessary. And therefore, maybe you are going to be high for damages payments. So it depends. Depends on the thing. And if you see this happening on a constant basis, you have to now go to Beis Din as quickly as possible. If you don't go to Beis Din as quickly as possible and just let it continue and calling the police, then also, and even if you give warning, that is not the bare minimum. Why do you know? You know it's going to happen. You know, every Tuesday and Wednesday it has these parties. You know it's going to continue. And still you don't bother going to Beis Din to try and stop him. But you can say, I'll call the police every time. So that's also more than necessary. Knowing full well the damage is coming and waiting to damage him back by with the police, that's also not to say that if you could have gone to Beis Din to stop them as it is. Okay? As we say, you have to do the bare minimum, and it's not appropriate or proper behavior to do the maximum, maybe higher for damages in that case when you go over the top. Okay? That's the end of the answer to the first question. Any questions? Come back. First, Tully.
Assuming he was incorrect and if I calling straight to the police without giving him a warning first, is it his own to stop the music? He wasn't planning for a fine, didn't care about a fine. Is that called magic or is that called grammar?
I know that the fines will come at some stage. Yeah, maybe the first time the police will come and give a warning, but I know the results of is that a constant call will cause monetary penalties.
So it's called magic.
And then it will be called magic.
So why should he maybe have to pay?
Only depending on whether he went over the top.
But if he did that, then he has to pay.
Yes, Mr. Goffman.
The situation is follows. His neighbor has said clear. Right now, this noise was done by a bunch of teenagers, which I'm not going to approach, because it's dangerous for my health. So right now...
If it's dangerous, they knock on them.
Yes, but my question...
Again, if it's dangerous... Say, you have to do the bare minimum that you can. If you can't, then that's not the bare minimum. The bare minimum is calling the police, then call the police. You're telling me an example where it's called the bare minimum to call the police. And fine, meaning you can't approach them because they're dangerous people to talk to. They're not going to.
I didn't finish my question. Right now, okay, Michael Wolfman calls it dangerous, but I still need, somebody needs to confirm that it is, because I cannot, everybody's dangerous.
The sharks might say you don't, but you have to confirm afterwards. For continuation.
Can you recoup the money for the
Yeah, Reuven first, and Yossi, go on.
Now, there's a cost for that, is there not?
Yes.
So we make the person who's having the noise of the nizik in this situation.
Yes.
If it's a nizik, have a financial cost.
Yes, because it's like going to a doctor, and the doctor is saying, okay, here's your medicine. And then you have to pay the doctor. So both parties need to go because they have a decider who's correct and who's not. And both parties need to pay because the doctor, or the basin, has helped both parties come to a solution which is now halakhically understood.
And is the fact that he went and complained to him without saying, I'm going to call the police, that's not acceptable?
No. You have to give. You have to tell him what you're bound to do. Yes. Yossi. Luke. Okay. Yeah.
He's completely wrong.
He doesn't think he's wrong. Remember, he comes from Texas. Yes. Mr. Block, go on.
By going to Beijing, there's always going to be a machlokes between the neighbors. Whoever wins, one side's going to be unhappy. Is there a way of doing it that you could suggest that maybe, you know, they could resolve it in a more...
Depends on the shiner. Sometimes shiners do think of it. This particular shiner is... No, you can't say you can have your parties and then after level. Yeah, this is some scenarios we try and encourage people to come to a certain resolution if it is possible. This type of shayla is not such a possible shayla.
And if you warn, you can call the police.
He said, if you warn,
okay.
If you warn, it's okay.
Warning him that you can call the police.
No,
or can call the police.
No.
Why?
One that you can go on the first time, maybe the second time, but when you see that it's a continuing problem and it's just going to happen again, so then the action to do is not police. The action to do now is basement. Because you want to prevent now the scenario in the least financial damage to the other person. The basement is more less of financial damage than the police. So you have to do that.
So
you've done it one, two, three times. You warned him, warned him, warned him. And he ignored the laws and please, please, please came. But now you know that the threat of police coming doesn't help him, and he gets damaged every time in any case. So therefore, two reasons that good Basin. You want this to stop, you see it's not really helping. And secondly, Basin is not as damaging as police.
Din call police.
Din, because I right now confused all.
No, no, question.
Warning, I don't call police. What next step?
Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah. He says, party takes place, go upstairs, stop it, someone calling the police. Doesn't stop it, call the police to save them. Party again next week, same time, same place, takes upstairs, warn him and says, I'm calling the police, if you don't stop, doesn't stop, you call the police to save them. Right? But now you're ready two times, now you know it's going to happen again. So now go to basement before next Wednesday.
You can call police before the basement.
Okay, second shot. Reuben, the same continuation of this. The story. Yankele has started to be clever. And after the Beis Din hearing, he always now finishes his parties at 11 o'clock. But he always has the parties with huge music until 11 o'clock. Bidzuk at 11 o'clock, he stops. No police now can come. And he's doing what the law tells him to do. But I need to go to bed by 10:30. I get up early in the morning, and I can't go to bed at 11 o'clock. And it's in any case, this is completely abnormal to have parties, music all the time. So, can I stop him at this stage? Well, what's my agenda? Because now I've got nothing to back me up. So here, we haven't got the secular law to say, well, you're not using this residential building. You are using it in a residential way, because up to 11 o'clock, that's you can do what you like, according to the law. So there you're doing it. So therefore, we go back to Shulchanoch, and the Shulchanoch says, Mach Lokas, if noise is a disturbance or not. So therefore, Yaakov can say from Texas, here I'm okay, because I've got someone to say this is not damaging, and even secular, it's defined as a residential. On that, that's not the bottom line, the coach should be okay. But the Shulchanoch says in your Marmokan number 2, after number 2, it says, Shulchanoch says, even the Rambam, who says noise is not damage, he says no. That's daf kibnei odin briyim. That's only for healthy people. I've included, but for ill people, I agree. Ill people, noise is damage. Yochanan person, you can stop. And that's based on the Rivosh. And it says, basically, the opinion which was lenient to say noise is not damage says, I agree that in certain cases noise is damage. And therefore it's noise and damage. Kulama, what's that? In the case where you've got an ill person, noise is damage. Now, have we got an ill person over here? Is Reuben an ill person or not an ill person?
No, he's 35, 40, because to get
up. He's 80.
40 years old.
49.
No. So, according to Halacha, he's an ill person. Why? Because, based on the Gemara of Yosef in Baba Basra, it says, what's the definition of ill person? It's an ill person's definition. It says, this damaged me. And I can't live with it. It's just abnormal. It disturbs my structure of life. My structure of life is disturbed by his activity. If his activity disturbs his structure of life, that it's unbearable for his life, then he's now defined as an ill person in respect to what's happening. In respect to what's happening, he's defined as an ill person. And therefore he says, I need to be better than that person because that's my structure of life. 11 o'clock doesn't allow that for me, so therefore this noise is caused damaging what's caused an ill person. Therefore, the Kula Alma, according to Halacha, can also ma'akiv, and therefore we have the same result as the previous Din Torah, that here it's recognized as damage for this individual, even though it's at 10:30 taking place, before 11 o'clock is taking place. Okay, that's the end of it. Now you can say, yes?
What if he goes to sleep at 8 o'clock?
If he goes to sleep at 8 o'clock, you have to give me reasons why he goes to sleep. What's the double mess?
Yeah.
Ain't not another?
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
But it's not common.
So what?
It's not. Why?
The definition of ill is not look at what the world does. It works as you are living in your house. And you have a certain structure of how to live in your house. And that's now being ruined by your neighbor's noise. Noise, by definition, can be a mazik. Just for Wednesday actually defines as mazik with the chola. What's the final chola? It disturbs my way of using my property and how I've structured my life. So, Enoch Hanami, yes, 8 o'clock would also be a chola. So, how far do we take this? That's how you're saying. Okay, we'll carry on the questions. We'll see if you could take this to extreme levels. By that moment, the answer, ban slaying from your neighbor, disturbing your other neighbor, so living his structure of his life, even if it's 8 o'clock, in Okanami, he has to stop his ban.
Once a year, or once a month, or once a week, does it make any difference to how often?
That we'll see in the Hampshire. Okay. Any more questions?
Yes, more questions. It's easy to get on my life. It will grow for next to my house. I cannot stand it. They say something, I need to work, and they, every time, 7 o'clock, all of a sudden I hear it.
Okay, that's all part of the same questions that everyone is asking, how far you take it.
Okay,
cool. Okay, now we'll move to our third question. Third question on this. Reuven continues. Same story. Reuven continues. I decided that this is just too much. Enoch Hanami, the Basin's decisions have been going in my favor, but to actually impose them has been very difficult, and so therefore I decided I'm going to sell my property. Do I have to disclose these problems to the potential buyer? And if they actually ask me, how are the neighbors? Can I be vague? Okay. Now,
I could not be vague.
Halacha says that when you sell something, you have to make sure you're selling something which doesn't have a mum. A mum means a blemish. You can't sell something with a blemish. Now, what's the find of a blemish? Shulchan Aruch in the Hilchos Memka says that it doesn't have to be something intrinsically problem with the actual property. The doors don't work. The walls don't work. There's holes everybody. That's for sure. But even which is an outside factor affecting the house, can be also a mum, and therefore it's not a valid sale. For example, they give over there, is that they happen to have a public path actually through your living room. People use your living room as a public. Now, nothing wrong with this. Look, the house is beautiful. The walls work, the floor works, everything is working properly. All the utilities work. It just happens to be an outside factor of people walking through as a public path all the time. That is called a mum in the property, even though it's an outside factors breaking it. So you can have outside factors making something a mum. So therefore, we have to discuss over here whether this is an outside factor called noise from neighbours. The property is beautiful, but the noise is coming from the neighbours and affecting the property. Does that mean it's a blemish in the property, and therefore you have to disclose this, otherwise you're saying something which is a mechanism. So we'll read a decision based on that. There's a halacha that's brought down in your halacha number 3. You'll see over there. It says, "Kol she'eskima olof ne'minzina she'umur ma'simuna." If the public people around in the country consider this problem as a mum that destroys sales, then ma'sim then it taka a mum and it will destroy the sale. The kol she'eskima olof she'umur, but when everyone says it's a problem, but it's not something that breaks deals, Eina Masa Elen Pirish, then you don't need to actually undo the deal at all. Because, Nosa Stam, if you make a deal Stam, Amina, Amidina, when you close a deal without speaking about it, then it's based on what the Minag is, and if the Minag says, this is a problem which is not a blemish, then it's not blemish and it's not a bad deal. If it's a problem which is a blemish, it is. That's the rules. When you close the deal stam, then it's based on what does the people in the world around you perceive. Is this a blemish which blows up the deal or not? So let me ask you. Do people say around us that you have a beautiful property, but you have neighbors which are a bit noisy and they're subliving? Will they say this is a deal breaker that breaks deals and therefore it's a moment in the actual property or not? What was that? No, it's not a braille seeker. Deal breaker. Not a deal breaker. And the riot to it, because if you take it to secular courts, even the judge will say you're correct, but you say he won't undo. He will never undo the deal. He may say appoint damages. You damaged it by not disclosing. But he'll never say the deal's undone. We won't damage you. Damages is the halachas. We follow our halachas, the damages, which are very specific, and it has to be direct and not grovis and anything like that. And therefore, damage is not a nosa. It's just a deal breaker. So we don't give it. No one understands this is a deal breaker, and that you can actually return the contract to the house. So therefore, if the neighbor, the potential buyer comes round and goes round and doesn't bother asking you about this, me'ika hadin, the non-disclosure won't say you've sold something which is a mum. You haven't sold anything. Okay? Me'ika hadin. Now, but, if he asks, tell me, what's with the neighbors? Are they easy to get on with? Do you have any problems from them? And you mislead information when being asked, that's a deal breaker. Because I was asking, for me this is important. For me this is part of the deal. It's intrinsic to know. So that is a deal breaker. Now, under all circumstances, depends how it says, tell me about the neighbors. Or he says, I'm very interested in the neighbors, very important for the neighbors. Is the neighbors, then you know it's a deal breaker. One of the signs when it's not so important, if they're worried about it, is if they don't put it in the contract. So then, basically, they have to be very careful to analyze how the question was verbally put originally. Was it just one of the questions you throw in, and what do you do today, type of thing? Or it was an intrinsic question which was necessary, and just they didn't put it in the contract. So then we'll have to analyze it. So at the end of the day, if it was never asked, it's not a deal breaker. If it was asked, it could be a deal breaker in how it's expressed. But, and here's the last part, even when not asked, and we say it's not a deal breaker, and if you don't disclose, you haven't sold the mum, even when we say that, what is a Jew's appropriate behavior to do then? Appropriate behavior of a Jew is to not put a stumbling block in front of other people, and therefore, and show your cards. Come forward and say, look, I have neighbours that for me it's disturbing. Maybe for you it won't be so disturbing. Other people don't seem to be honest. For me it is. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I'm interested in moving. Yeah. Show your cards. That is appropriate Jewish response. And that's nothing based in Kemachayim. But that's between bin Adam and Mokka, whether you behave like a Jew. And I'm just going to give a warning, people in this world, so don't behave like a Jew. If there's still more Gilgulim, because that's Shaila, there's going to be still more Gilgulim as we get close to Mashiach, we're very, very close to it, maybe there's no more Gilgulim. But if there's still more Gilgulim, you may come back as a Gilgul or something else rather than you, which you wouldn't want to, if you don't behave like a Jew in this. Okay. So that's the end of the answer to that first question. Anyone wants to ask on that? Time is running out, so therefore
very short.
No?
Yes, but I said I don't know, and I'm not lying. I don't know when you ask, I'm lying or not.
You're misleading.
No, if I don't, really don't.
Oh, you don't know, okay, then fine. You don't know, it's okay.
Other people said, how you don't know? Everybody knows. But I said,
if it's true, it's true. But you can't be an obvious to say, yes, Ruben.
You know that there's a neighbor, they don't ask. You're supposed to still tell them?
That's what I just said. A behavior of a Jew is to open up your cards. Even if you're not asked, is to show your cards. Yes, Mr.
Usually, we're at school.
Yeah?
So this is the same thing. And then there's the shadow of cheating me on the price.
Not necessarily, because at the school you can't change. Neighbors can be dealt with noise control. Just how yekish you can be. Okay. It's not intrinsically part of the area. It's just a person happens to be there. Okay. Number four is, my neighbor has his mazgan, air conditioning unit, and he's placed it just above my bedroom. For almost a year, it's already been there. At first I thought I could get used to the noise. But see, now see, I can't. It's really serving me. Can I demand that my neighbor move his air conditioning units on his cost? So the Torah would say, yes, because according to what we just said, for me, I'm not, when you say me, this person's been disturbed by the air conditioning units, he's a chola! And noise for a chola is always a legitimate claim. So therefore, the chola, you can say, and the locha, move it. However, there's a chazanish, and this will answer all your previous, how far do we take this? The chazanish says that if the person who's disturbing you with noise is coming from noise use, which is called normal living use, that creating the noise, normal living use which is creating the noise, then the other person who's been affected by it cannot object. Because just as you can use your place in a normal way, he can also use it in a normal way. So therefore, the example, says the husband, if your neighbor happens to be a family blessed with children, and they have 14 children in the house, and because there are 14 children in the house, there's 14 chairs being moved, 14 kids are being playing with their bricks and building their bricks when they're their games, and it makes huge noise downstairs, and it's affecting him going to sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning to get up for that. Your noise is a hold of this guy, and he's going to say, no, because the noise has been created by your neighbor in a normal, acceptable use of noise in the residential. Your children have to live, it's how children live. So therefore we have to define if the noise is created by normal residential day and night use or not. Therefore the bad playing, which was decided before, is not normal use of a residential. Therefore it's noise from a non-residential use, creating problems to someone affect somebody's life. Then Enochamay, he says he's a chola, I can stop him. But if the noise is from children and chairs and all that, he can't object to anything. So here with Mazgan, they say that Mazgan is a normal part of a structure of Shinaitz Israel, and that's therefore a normal thing to have, and it's normal noise from a normal residential use. Enochamay, the noise can't be objected now over here from that. So you can demand it being moved, but at whose expense? Who has to pay for that move? The injured party has to pay, because he has no halachic right to force the other guy to go away, but he has a halachic right to demand, put it in a better place, not affecting you, put it in a better place, but I'll pay. I'll pay for the move.
He has to move
the mazgan, but at the expense of the injured party. Because moving the mazgan, no way affects at all the owner of the mazgan. What does he care if it's in that position? So the actual move is not. It's just a sign of the cost. The cost, the one who's injured has to pay because he hasn't got a demand to actually make the other guy halakhi. And therefore, that answers up. Mela, we left On this particular topic, we're left with two silos which are open, which will assist them. Next week is the fourth week of our question share. Fourth week question share is Hashlama, meaning all the topics, the three topics we discussed, which we missed out some questions, one question, here two questions, will all be discussed in next week's share to answer all those questions which are still there to discuss on these three topics. Have a very good day, and we'll see you tomorrow for our new pastorship.